Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Good, good. Happy Memorial Day weekend to you. Glad that you're here. I'm glad to see you. There's nowhere else I would rather be. This morning, my dad's out of town, and I was sitting out there trying to do somewhat of a good job like my dad would do. And I just kept thinking about how awesome it is to be here. Such a great place to be. I'm glad that you're here. We're shaking things up a little bit this morning. We got just two players here. Most of the folks are on vacation for Memorial Day. Greg over here, I'd like to point this out. He was going to play guitar, and he practiced on one song for guitar, and they were like, we need a piano player. And he goes over here and just plays the piano perfectly. And it's awesome. It's awesome that his talent is like that. I for one, am thankful for him. I'm thankful for Ike, for Bobby Joe. I'm thankful for all you guys being here on Memorial Weekend. I know it can be busy. I've been super busy this weekend. But I'm just going to tone it down right now. And we're just going to worship our loving, wonderful Father who gives us all that we need all the time and loves us unconditionally. So let's stand and let's worship.
Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior, isn't He? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before. Christ is risen. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
I don't know about you guys, but I definitely had some failures this week. I made some mistakes and said the wrong thing, reacted inappropriately. I had failure this week, and as I do every week, but what's really awesome about those failures is, yes, we can learn from them. We can make the decision next time to say the right thing and, you know, so forth. But what's even better than that is God's forgiveness, God's grace, and His mercy. And in Lamentations, it says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Each morning, we are given those brand new mercies. The Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in Him. I will hope that I will do right again. I will hope that I will say the right thing. The Lord is good to those who depend on Him, for those who search for Him. So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. His mercies never cease. No matter how many times I fail, no matter how many times I explode, His faithfulness, His love is never ending for me, for you, every single time. He doesn't give up on us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Know that. Rest in that peace. He is so good to us. Amen. Your kindness leads me to repentance. Your goodness draws me to Your side. Your mercy calls me to be like You. Your favor is my I'll awaken my prayer.
give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken.
In our lungs, so we pour out our praise.
Father, we praise you this morning, God. We thank you for who you are, God. We thank you for your love and your mercy, God. We thank you for the breath in our lungs, God. The things that we just go through everyday life and don't even think about, Father. Today, we give you praise for that, God. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name.
During that time, I think I knew one person who was from Griffin that actually lost their life in that war. But in this one, for the many, many years it's been going on, it seems like every so often we find there's somebody that may not know them personally, but we know of them who gave their life for their country. And it's always even deeper than that when you realize that when you see a name, when you see someone who gave their life, you don't know them. They're just a name. Like you see somebody who going through something, and you have to put yourself sometimes in that situation, you know, of what that would feel like. I had a moment yesterday. I was in Tanger and with Mike, and he was really struggling, and I just had a moment where I put myself in his shoes of what he's going through. He's still trying to buy clothes and look good. He's trying to do some things that he normally would do, even though he's hurting as bad as he was hurting. And I just put myself in his shoes. And I think this morning, if we can put ourselves in someone's shoes that has lost a loved one in war, then we can begin to feel that emotion. And I think sometimes we need to feel those emotions to know exactly what it's like. So will you bow your heads? And Father, we thank you. And we pray, Lord, for our country. We pray for the families that of the people who have lost loved ones. Lord, we praise those that gave the ultimate sacrifice and gave their life for their country. Lord, we pray for our government. We pray for our military people. We pray, Lord, that peace will reign in the earth. We know that's your purpose and that's your plan. Jesus came, Lord, to do that. He came that peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And so today we agree together and we're thankful, we're grateful, and we pray for all of those who are serving and all of those who are, especially in the zones where there's danger. Lord, just pray for our nation. Pray for this world, Lord, that peace will come and that your ultimate plan will be perpetrated throughout this entire world. We believe that. Lord, we're here today and every Sunday, every week, Lord, we're here to proclaim that the best is yet to come and that you have a great plan for this world, this earth. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Man, you may be seated. I was thinking several years ago on Memorial Weekend, we were packed out. I mean, we were just packed out. And I thought this morning, you know what? I'm kind of glad. These empty seats today don't bother me because it says to me the economy's better. It says to me that people have the funds to go some places. So I'm really not upset. I'd love to see a packed out house, but these empty seats today speak to me and say, hey, things are better. Amen? Amen. Did you know things are better? Right. You know the economy's better? Do you know things are getting better? Right. Do you know that? That's good. That's good news. Things are getting better. Now, I don't know how many. I'm looking around. I don't think this announcement has anything to do with anybody here. But if it does, next Sunday we're having a prospective members lunch on June the 4th, right after the service. So if you're thinking about joining, then Eagles Way, we encourage you to be at that luncheon. Maybe you need to re-up. And if you want to re-up and rejoin, you can do that. I hadn't seen some of you in a few weeks, so you may want to come to that class and re-up with us. Every now, you know, there was a phrase in that song you just sang, and it says, I will awaken my praise. I will awaken my praise. This morning, as we go through what we're going to go through, I'm going to go back to last week. Then we're going to finish up because I put up a scripture last week that I didn't finish. I want to go to that, and then we want to close with a passage of scripture. But the thread you're going to see is this. God desires for us to always bear fruit. God desires for us to always be joyful. God desires for us to win every battle. I talked last week about Cain and how Cain and Abel, his brother, were bringing sacrifices to the Lord. And the Bible says that Abel brought of the first fruits of the best of his flock, of the best of his herd to the Lord, and he sacrificed it. And said that Cain, he gathered some of his, he was a gardener, so he gathered some of his stuff and he brought it to the Lord. And the Bible says that God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but he rejected Cain's sacrifice. But in the rejection of Cain's sacrifice, God wasn't putting Cain down. God's just saying to Cain, Cain, don't be upset about this. If you'll just do what's right, everything will be right. If you'll just choose to do the right thing from now on, everything will be okay. And he said something to Cain. He said, Cain, sin is lying at your door. It's crouching, as different translation says, it's lying at your door. It's crouching at your door. But it's there crouching at your door, and it desires to master you, but you must master it. You must master it. It desires to master you, but you must master it. For weeks, months, years, we don't know. But Cain was struggling with this rejection. And more than that, Cain was struggling not so much with him being dejected, but his brother being accepted. He was struggling more with what was happening in his brother's life than what was happening in his life. And see, had he been focusing on himself and not on Abel, he'd have probably mastered this, and this horrible sin, this horrible murder would have never taken place. But nevertheless, Cain undoubtedly didn't do that. And so week after week, month after month, maybe year after year, we don't know. He kept looking at Abel and going, you know, God loves him more than he loves me. There it is. Does he? Good. No. But if we think that he loves somebody else more than he loves us, guess what? In your world, he does. Your perspective is your perspective, and that's what's going to happen. So later on, he finally gets so upset with him, and it bothers him so much that he kills his brother. And God comes to Abel and comes to Cain, and he begins to hear this voice, Cain, where's your brother? Of course, we hear those resounding words down through the centuries, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. And so Cain and God get into a conversation. Now, I'm not going to go back and read this, but man, I love reading scriptures today with new glasses. I love it. I love reading the word with new glasses. About every 5 to 10 years, I get a new set of lenses. I like that. I get years ago, I had Pentecostal glasses. And that's all I had was Pentecostal glasses. I had glasses that were different. I saw things differently than I see them now. And then later on, I got a new set of glasses. They were called kingdom glasses. Oh, I love my kingdom glasses. That's the first time I saw that God really loved everybody. That's the first time I really saw that God really, the best was really yet to come. I've been saying that for 20 years, folks. This ain't nothing new. I had those kingdom glasses on, and I love them kingdom glasses. And then later on, those glasses got my eyes were getting a little weak with them, so I got a new set of glasses, and I got this real grace glasses. Man, I love these grace glasses. I really did see everything differently then. And then, recently, I got a new set of glasses. Double grace glasses. I mean, they are just magnified glasses. And so when I was reading this story about Cain, Cain was telling himself, I'm a dead man. Everybody is going to be out to kill me. I'm a dead man. He starts telling himself that. God comes to him and he says, and Cain says, they're going to kill me. And God says, nobody's going to kill you. Matter of fact, I'm going to put a mark on you, a protection that anybody to sees you are not going to kill you. They're not going to bother you. And so Cain still feels the way he feels, yet God still feels something differently about him. And this same Cain, who is called a marked man by glasses I had years ago, is a marked man for a different reason today. And this Cain went, and the Bible says the man who thought everybody was going to kill him founded a city. Founded a city. Had children. They had children. And a whole civilization began to rise up out of a man who said, I'm doomed. Out of a man who said, it's over for me. God said something else. Isn't he a loving God? Gosh, isn't he a loving God? James 1 says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and testings, for the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Count it joy. I thought about this scripture a couple of weeks ago. I was in a Wednesday morning class, and this scripture just leaped off the page to me in my heart and in my mind. Jesus was processing his crucifixion. He was processing it, I believe, for a good 3.5 years. He knew when he was gathering his disciples, he knew where he was headed, but he had to process that. He was still a man. As a matter of fact, we understand Gethsemane. He said, God, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Then Jesus said something on the way to the cross, on the way to before it all really began to happen. He started processing in a different way. And Jesus said this. He did not say, if I be crucified on the cross, I will draw all men unto me. He said, if I be lifted up on the cross, I will draw all men unto me. He looked at it as not a being brought down, but as being lifted up. If we can see life every time something comes our way, not to bring us down, but to lift us up. And Jesus saw what was going on. He says, if I be lifted up on the cross, I'll draw all men unto me. Paul said to let this same mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And because of that, God gave him a name above every name and exalted him above everything. And said at his name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Because Jesus saw himself not as being brought down, but as being lifted up. Wow, what if we could just have a mental process every time things come our way and go, oh, wow, this is going to lift me up. This is not going to bring me down. This is going to lift me up. This is not going to be a detriment to me. This is going to compliment me. This is going to encourage me. This is not going to bring me down. It's going to lift me up. Isn't that good? This is hot off the press. Y'all sat there thinking I had this all week long. God's just a good God. He says, I want to lift you up, not bring you down. I want to lift you up. And the way I lift you up is that you got to lift yourself. That you got to awaken yourself unto praise. You got to awaken yourself. You see, trials are going to come. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Now, why can you be of good cheer in a world of tribulation? Why? Because you're going to overcome them. Because greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. And so the reason that I can rejoice in everything, the reason that in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? Every time you see a double emphasis in Scripture, when Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, when there's a double word used in Scripture, it's meaning, heads up, this is important. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, let your moderation, let your gentleness, let your forbearance be known unto all men. Why? Because the Lord is here. He didn't say the Lord's coming. Said the Lord is here. The Lord is near. Let your gentleness, let your forbearance be known unto all men. And the Greeks, every time they defined a Greek word, they put an illustration to it so you'll understand what it's saying. When the Bible says you'll speak into this mountain and it be removed, the Greeks took that and they said the teachers in the schools were mountain movers. They took their students and they removed the obstacles in their minds that was keeping them from becoming what they needed to become. They were mountain movers. See, I didn't know that every Sunday morning I'm moving mountains. I'm speaking to the mountains in your heart, mind, that's obstacles to you, that's keeping you from what you need to know, where you need to go, what you need to be, how you can overcome. We're removing those obstacles. We're removing them. You know, I'm amazed sometimes when you go on a trip. I was in Costa Rica several times. Remember when we went through the mountains and how they were able to cut through the mountains to make that road to get. If man can cut through mountains like that, what can God do with the mountains in our hearts and in our lives? And he said, let your gentleness, let your forbearance be known unto all men. Look at all men the way that you need to look at them with eyes of grace and mercy and faith. He says now, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, all these things, I just want to give you real quickly what those words mean. True, things that will not let you down, but things that will lift you up. Think on what's true. What is true? What is true is what God says about you. Not what you say about you, not what others say about you. Truth is what God says about you. Period. Period. That will not let you down. Focus on what's honest or honorable. Honorable. Focus on just. Give man and God their due. Watch this. Whatever you think is God's due is man's due. Be just. What is pure? What's fit for use? What is lovely? What's winsome? What's attractive? What's of good report? Is it fit for God to hear? If there's any virtue or excellence, or if there's anything worth praising, it's worth it. Think on it. Last weekend, I was at a wedding. How many went to Leah and him's wedding? And about an hour before, an hour, maybe 2 hours before the wedding, that storm just hit. It was horrible. And I wasn't even there, and I was panicking. Matter of fact, I told Dusty, she was when she left, I said, you know, tell them they want to come to the church. We'll go get that thing ready. They can, you know, just tell everybody to come over here. But, you know, even though with all the storm, with all the lightning, with all the rain, there was something about joy that was filtrating those people. And they weren't looking at the clouds and the rain. They were looking at the moment. And I remember we had to sit in our cars for about an hour. But I saw one of the most precious, joyous, meaningful things happen I think I've ever seen. And when I saw that groom come out with his tux, his nice clothes, and walk through the mud and go to every car and say, you can come. You can come. All things are ready. And buddy, we got there and it's still raining. And that was the most joyous wedding I think I've ever seen. Because people decided to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Just let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. In John chapter 15, I want to teach you this in my old glasses, and I'm going to teach you this with my new glasses. And you're going to love my new glasses a lot more than the old glasses. And I had forgotten that when I restudied this, I was reading it with my old glasses just this week. I forgot. I just reached down my desk, Joe, and I pulled out my old glasses. I didn't mean to, but I did. And I started reading it with my old glasses, and it wasn't making any sense. I was reading it, and I was going, that ain't right. That ain't right. I'm missing something. And so I'm going to read it with my old glasses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. I love it that he says the Father's not the owner, the proprietor. He is the one who's going to protect and care for the vineyard. Jesus said, I'm the vine, but he's the caretaker. And so he's not just watching over it. He's coming down here to help it bear fruit. That's the reason Jesus said, it's better that I go to the Father, because if I don't go to the Father, he won't come. But if I go to the Father, he will come, the Holy Spirit. And he said, when he comes, we will take up our abode in you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. See, you think sometimes you just got, you got them all. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, we will take up, we'll live in you. In the Revelation 21, it says, the tabernacle of God is with men. I will be their God and they shall be my people. I will dwell in them. And so, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. Old school. He throws you away. Does away with you if you're not bearing fruit. He gets rid of you. That's how I used to preach it. Never mind. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. He cuts on it. Either way, it sounds bad. If I don't bear fruit, he throws me away. If I bear fruit, he cuts me to bear more fruit. Oh, and I used to preach it like that. And I started preparing this message like that. And I went, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Then he says, now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Oh. So now I'm going to give it to you. New school. New glasses. Ready? He that beareth not fruit, he lifts up. Taketh away in the Greek means he takes the vines that's laying on the ground and lifts them up and puts them in the place where the grapes can grow. Ain't that good? And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. Purgeth it. He takes the grapes that's got some bugs on it, some insects, and he washes them off so he can bear more. How's it going to bear more fruit? By protecting the fruit that is. Oh, that's good. How's it going to bear more fruit? By protecting the fruit that is. And so he says that's not bearing fruit is because of where it's lying. He reaches down and he lifts it up. No matter where you are in life, no matter what you've done, he says, I'm coming to lift you up. I'm coming to lift, and I'm not tearing you down, I'm lifting you up. No matter what it's been, I'm lifting you up. I'm lifting you up. And if you're bearing fruit, I'm going to keep washing you with the word so you can keep bearing more fruit. Because see, fruit bears more fruit. and it keeps bearing more fruit. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in me. And no one in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Now he's not saying, he said he that does not abide in him. You with me? Those are the ones who are cast away. Those are the ones that he has nothing to do with because they haven't acknowledged him. And so if you're not abiding in, if you haven't been awakened to who you really are and abiding in him, you're just going to be cast aside. Not, he doesn't just come and cast you aside. You're already cast aside. You're not in him. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You should ask what you will and it shall be done. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As a father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. And I love verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. My joy will remain in you, and your joy will remain full. And it all comes down to a simple thought, a simple principle. Very simple. Rejoice. Count it joy. Jesus said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Because the joy on the other side so far exceeded what was that momentary trial and tribulation he was going through. It so exceeded that. It just filled him with all that goodness. And so on a cross, as we shared in Easter, instead of moaning and groaning and complaining, kicked into gear. And in the midst of his most trying, difficult time of his life, he says, Father, forgive them, but they don't know what they're doing. Looked at a man and said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Not the grave. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Woman, I'm going to be going, but John, won't you take care of my mother? And mother, he's going to be with you. I thirst, but he drank the cup. Why did he drink it? Because he knew what was going to happen in the end. And what I thought that Sunday was going to be the greatest revelation I ever gave, and everybody was going to hoop and holler, and everybody was going to get this more than they got anything, was that why the scars? And I thought, you know, I said, a million years from now, you're going to still remember what you went through, but you're not going to have it, look at it with sorrow. You're going to look at it with joy, but what it brought you through. Your memories are just your scars that you know the goodness of God and what he's done for you. And I thought, wow, everybody's just going to, and nobody said anything to me that whole week about the scars. Nobody. But I got phone calls. I saw posts that talked about drinking the cup. Didn't y'all get it? I gave you my biggest revelation I thought I ever had in my life. And the only thing everybody got was, I drank in the cup. I said, wow. And I've heard more people since then say, I'm going to drink the cup. Because I know everything's going to be okay. Because you can't do nothing else, Billy, but drink it if it's given to you. There's nothing, like I said weeks ago, somebody said, I got to deal with this rejection. I said, I can tell you how to deal with it easily. I can tell you how to process rejection just like that. Accept it. Accept it. What else are you going to do with it? You can't deal with it. Let me tell you, if you try to deal with rejection, Cain. If you try to deal with rejection, Cain, it's going to bring forth death. You go ahead and accept it. Know that God still loves you. No matter what man has said or you have said or anybody else has said, God is on your side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And that's why this month has been about maintaining our healing at the table. I got a piano player here anywhere. Is Greg in here? Greg? Where's Greg? Greg, you want to come? You're going the long way. Yeah? Okay. There you go. Going around the walls of Jericho just to get to the piano. Stand. When I read Count It All Joy, when you fall into the various trials and testings and saw it and broke it really all the way down in the Greek, it says when trials come, they want to suck you in to their negativity. They want to suck you in to where you only see the trial. But if you will know that in the end, you're going to be triumphant. Every time from this day on, you see or hear or think about the word trial, think of triumphant. Triumphant follows trial. Think of being triumphant. And if you think of being triumphant, you will be. No matter what it feels like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what it feels like, won't be triumphant. Because God's the God that we serve. But I have to be awakened to that. I got to be awakened to my praise. I got to do that. I've got to wake myself up. You know, it's babies and children that need to be woke up. It comes a time in your life where you got to wake yourself up. Comes a time in your life where you got, you know, somebody's not going to come and wake me up. It's time to get up. I went all the way through school with daddy coming and getting me up, or mother coming and getting me up. Mother did it one way, daddy did it another way. Mamas drove me crazy. Little boy blue, come blow your horn. But cows and sheep's in the meadow and the cows in the corn. Every morning, little boy blue, come blow your horn. Sheep's in the meadow and the cows in the corn. I just want to scream. But that was like up through about the all the way up to high school. Little boy blue come blow. All the way up to high school. Then daddy took over. And 10th, 11th, 12th grade, daddy, he got up because he worked at the bus shop. He was superintendent there, and he had to be there like at 6 in the morning. So Daddy get me up about 5:30 to eat breakfast with him. I like the way he did it. He just came in and said, "Baron, get up." I really liked that better because it wasn't quite as agitating. But there came a time in my life where Daddy's not going to wake me up. Mama's not going to wake me up. I got to wake myself up. And that's where you and I have to take responsibility. We got to wake ourselves up to what God is up to. Awake, thou that sleepest. Arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. He kept telling Israel that over and over and over again. And the people who were first given the oracles of God, the people who were promised all of this, missed it. Missed it. Missed the day, Jesus said, of their visitation. Because they weren't awakened to who was coming. And they didn't see him in the way they should have saw him. Ooh, that'll preach. They didn't see him the way they should have seen him. I want to give an advertisement for next month and July and August. Now, ladies, you're going to love it if you will get your man here. The entire summer is going to be on fathers. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, "Where are the fathers?" It's amazing that the very end of the last word spoken, last word spoken in the Old Testament, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. It's going to all be, now women, you're going to still get something out of it. You get a lot out of it because principles are principles and they work anyway, either way. But I was in the Caribbean several, first book up, I think Chris has read in a long time, wasn't it? That book. But it's a little bitty book, ain't it, Chris? A little bitty book. Chris read this. I ain't mean that in a negative light. It sounds like it, but Chris, he read this whole book on the beach in like just two short settings. And so he got through with it. I asked him to let me see it. And it was one of Dwayne Swilly's books. It's on the 12 tribes of Israel and seeing fathers through the 12 tribes of Israel. So I started reading the book and I said, wow, this is good stuff. This is really, really good. So I bought a bunch of those books to put in your hands, men. But I want to encourage you to tell other people about it because it's going to be, I believe, one of the best series we've ever done here. And it took me back to a series I did a couple of times years ago in the book of James. And where he takes, James is the Greek word for Jacob. And Jacob blessed his 12 sons. And they had the opportunity to take that blessing and make it so real in their family. And they could have passed on such heritage, such awesome heritage. They had the opportunity. It's lying there. You got to decide, I'm going to take it up. And I'm going to do something with it. So I encourage you to be here. If you can't be here, make sure you go online and watch it and keep up with it. But starting next week, we're going to do that. Father, I thank you for this body of believers. I thank you for the table that you're so setting before us every single day, every week, every moment. Lord, you're awakening us to more and more how you set that table. And how we can come and sit and enjoy the benefits of that table. And Lord, I just speak wholeness. I speak blessing. I speak healing. I speak joy. I speak forgiveness. I speak mercy and grace. I speak, Lord, all of your goodness. All of your goodness. As we sang this morning, God, you are good. You are good. Your faithfulness endures forever. Your mercies are forever. Everything that is good is forever. And we just speak it now, no matter what the circumstances, the situation, no matter what it seems to be, no matter what it feels to be, Lord, we speak wholeness, we speak healing, we speak victory, we speak, Lord, the joy of the Lord is our strength, and I can do all things through Christ who has strengthened me. And Lord, we're more than a conqueror through Him that has loved us. Lord, we thank You, we thank You, we thank You, we thank You, God, for Your love. I thank You for the love of this body. I thank You, God, for the people that are here. I thank You for those that are, Lord, enjoying themselves, God, in different places this weekend. And I bless them. I thank You, God, for just stirring up all this goodness in them. And I thank You that this table of the fatherhood, that we're going to see the wholeness and the blessings of the family just rise to such a greater extent than it's ever, ever, ever been before. And we thank You for that in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated. Will's going to come with a few announcements, then we're going to have our almsgiving.
Morning. I wanted to extend what Pastor Buren spoke on this morning about veterans. As a nurse, God has given me a heart for our veterans. I've taken care of World War II veterans, Vietnam veterans, and many of them have addictions to alcohol. PTSD is real. We don't know what they endured, and what they still live with. And when I was in Nashville, Tennessee, working at a veterans hospital, there are many who are homeless. And we have stepped up to the plate in recent years, but we haven't done enough, really, for our veterans. So I just wanted to ask everyone that if you have an opportunity to thank a veteran or give to them or help them, please do so.
Some of you may not be aware, but there's a nonprofit within our community called Waypoint, and it's in the old jail over on Broad Street. And they do a great service to veterans and resources that they may not know that is available to them. And so if you want to make donations, they would receive your donations. That's a way that you could do that also. This particular nonprofit was set up by our governor. And as kind of a, what is the word when they're seeing if it works? I can't think of it right this second, but to possibly have this type of nonprofit across our state. So it's a good venture. Our ushers can begin receiving our morning's tithes and offerings. If you have your connection card, hopefully you have already filled that out. A lot of important information within the bulletin. If you're visiting with us for the first time, thank you for being here. We have a gift that will be out there on the information center out there. You can just grab one of those. There's a note in there from Pastor to you, so we thank you for being here. And on the back of the bulletin, if you have a student that is summer camp eligible, that would be 6th through 12th grade. There's information about that, but the most important thing is that their fundraiser for camp is next Sunday. Immediately following the service, there'll be a spaghetti dinner ready for you. So you can go up to the youth building and eat it there. They will serve you and clean up after you. Or if you want to grab it and take it home and eat it at home, you can do that. But all of the donations that come in for that meal will be going to help those that are serving and the students that are going to summer camp. So plan on that. Make that a big day. You can give just like you give any other way, whether it's by check, by cash, if you want to put it in an envelope, or if you have already downloaded the Eagles Way app, you can give through the app that way or on the website. So thank you for your faithfulness to the house of God. Your giving makes a difference to all those that rushed in hope yesterday, that served, they cooked. We had several that cooked and then served yesterday. We're actually not going to be doing that in the month of June, but we will start back that up in July. But we have, our team has, we got a great cook team, almost enough that we're going to be able to divide that into two sections. But we're needing some more servers on that Saturday. It's about 2.5 hours, 2 hours actually. And so if you are interested in that, we want to build that team up so that it's not the same ones having to do it each month. So we're going to pray and we're going to bless this offering, and then they're going to lead us in a worship song. And as we're worshiping, we're going to come and give our alms. Those alms offerings go to help those that are in need here in our community. We support the different organizations that are giving. We are doing that also to those in the house. So, Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can come, we can give, but we can, Lord, be encouraged. We can bring our first fruits, our tithes, and our offerings. But, Lord, we can impart, Father, Lord, to other people's lives through our alms. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray.
Y'all have a great day. Have a good Memorial Day also.